like we were saying yesterday, this is a chance to a lima that we went through gradually, piece by piece, sugya by sugya, line by line, sif by sif. Now we're able to come back and assemble the trees into a forest and really see how all the different sugyas hang together in a coherent way. Yesterday we began our chazara, and right now Bli Neder we will complete it. The framework we started with yesterday is to think about some of the aspects of Issur Yichud, and then to organize all of the many kulas into three major categories. Yesterday we began with chazaring that there's the Issur Yichud al pi pashtus daraisa as well as rabbanon. The daraisa needs the two criteria of its beseser and ervon. The Gemara is clear of both of those. If it's two people, only one man, one woman, alone, beseser, the language of the pasuk in Chumash Devarim, and they are an erva to one another, so then that yichud arayus is, the Gemara says, daraisa. If either they are not an erva to one another, which practically speaking, bizman hazeh, the most common example of that is a Jew and a nachras, or they may all be Jews, but they're more than two people, three or more people, then already it's maximum Issur Drabanan. And regardless of whether it's Yichud Daraisa or Yichud Drabanan, it may yield to one of these 8-9 solutions we're about to put on the board. And also, in terms of laying out sort of the more of the parameters of the Issur Yichud, he spoke about a couple of pair of Gemaras in the top Pei Aleph from an Aleph, which both point out that the Issur of Yichud is based on a risk, a possibility that Znus could follow a situation of Yichud, but we don't assume that most probably Znus followed a situation of Yichud. That's why Malkan Yichud, Yichud itself is Aser, even if nothing more untoward happened than merely being alone together, being secluded itself is a violation of the din for which you get Makas Vardas. But we would not post facto say, oh, you violate Yichud, Mustama, there was an act of Znus. Ain't Osran Yichud. We will not turn around and say that she's a sota asur laval asur labol based on a situation of yichud. The exception is actual sota, but actual sota is not only stira, which is more or less yichud, but it was preceded by a witnessed kinnut. There was a conversation with husband and wife in advance with Eitz Lakim Adavar, where he laid out his suspicions and said, "Al tistri mishploni." And despite that, subsequently there was a stira. They were beseser. Then that combination of facts, where it creates a raglayim ledavar, is a real suffix, maybe Znus occur. But just yichud alone, stira alone, does not, there's a possibility, obviously, of Znus, enough to make the yichud aser, but not enough to assume that Znus occurred as a result. And the other major element in terms of parameterizing this with yichud is to realize that there are two tests you have to pass in order for a situation to be acceptable. Number one, that doesn't violate technical yichud, and that has more objective definitions, where we're about to jump into right now. You also have to avoid, additionally, mechura adavar. You have to avoid lo tova shmur. You also have to avoid a situation which technically isn't yichud, but lemaisa doesn't pass the smell test. Lemaisa doesn't look right, doesn't feel right. You have to avoid the appearance of impropriety. Mechur HaDavar, it's harder to define in an objective way because it really depends on the details of any given situation. So you have to make both assessments. In order for a situation to be appropriate, I have to pass both tests. Neither Yichud nor Mechur HaDavar. And with that, so let's jump into the heart of Hilchos Yichud, which is all of the kulos. He said there are three. Yeah, question?
No.
No. Oh, please. All the different kulas seem to fall into three basic categories. We're not going to go through them in the order which we originally learned them. Al Seder HaGemara, Al Seder Shulchan Aruch. We're going to go through them in an order that puts different things together logically. The three categories. Number one, there's two of the kulas in this we looked at yesterday. There are situations where it's not yichud because she's a woman with whom I have no issur yichud. Or a woman might say, he's a man with whom I have no issur yichud. So that's the category, that's type one. Type two are adding a shomer, and who qualifies to be a shomer. And type three are, it's not that I don't have yichud with this person, it's not that there's an additional shomer, it's just that this situation is a situation which is mutter. Yesterday we looked at category number one. The people with whom I have noticed a yichud falls in two basic. You can break them down some more. The karova so and isha shabayla bi'ir. Either she is related to me in a close positive way, in a way that mitigates this yichud, or we're not related, but she has a husband and bayla bi'ir. So yesterday, karova so comes in the three flavors. Either there's no isha yichud with 99% of the time, no isha yichud with one's wife, even if she is a Nida. Nida is an Erva. That was the opening line in the Shulchan Aruch Simcha Beis. Nida is an Erva. Yichud with a Nida who is not my wife is a Yichud Daraisa. But Yichud, because between husband and wife, as the Rush explains, in the context of an ongoing relationship of Heter, and there's a cyclical Isra that comes and goes, so that type of Isra doesn't create Isra Yichud. And then he spoke about parents and children, grandparents, grandchildren, that's the Mishnah, and the extension of the Bach, and finally the Machlokas, Amora, and the Machlokas Rishonim, about Achosel. And Natan reports that Yakut Yosef says he even sarred him to rely on the Rosh against the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know why, if Yuvad Yosef held that way, because his usual Mahalach was as far as we should go back to basics, go back to Shulchan Aruch. Okay, good. So apparently both Ashkenaz and Sfarim rely on the position of the Rosh, the Amora of Yehuda, that with Achosa there's a limited heter of Yichud, but not Dira. And then we ended yesterday by reviewing the conversation about Baal Be'ir. We pass like Tosa against Rosh, that Baal Be'ir is a heter. And Machlokas Rishonim and Achron about the nature of Baal Be'ir is a specific practical concern. The husband may actually pop in, very, very limited. Or is it the broader approach of the Rambam, the Chazon Ish, the Chidah, that it's the nerve? It's a psychological inhibition. The husband may not show up. He may not even know where his wife is. She's somewhere else in town. Doesn't really matter. He may be wrapped up in a meeting. He may be locked up in a court hearing. He's not able to arrive in the next hour or two even. But the fact that he's in close proximity creates an inhibition. Then we understand, based on that, the exception that Gemara has, Baal Be'er works, but not if Libo Gaspa. Why? Because Baal Be'er adds some inhibition, but Libo Gaspa disinhibits, it sort of counterbalances Baal Be'er. So if it's Baal Be'er, but Libo Gaspa, you're back to a situation of this. Okay. Questions. Okay. Now let's talk about Agnes Shomer. Yeah, Natan.
Did Rebbe say that 99% of the time Yichud is Mutter?
Great question, yes. I said 99% of the time Yichud, there's no Isra Yichud, she's husband and wife, and she's Nida. What's the 1%? So the 1% is a rare, there's a rare situation. It can only happen maximum once in a person's marriage. In most marriages, it never occurs. But in theory, it can happen once in a person's marriage. The Sugya beginning of Maseches Tuvos, Daf Gimel, says, I told you before that that nidus, within the context of an ongoing relationship of Heter, there's a cyclical isser every month. She becomes that they're asur to one another when she's a nida. It doesn't create an isser yichud. The Gemara says, but let's say she becomes a nida before they have bir rishon. Let's say she's a nida when they get married, or she becomes a nida immediately after they get married. So then the Gemara says, in that situation, there will be an isser yichud until she goes to mikvah and they have a tashrish for the first time. That's a rarity. It's a situation we try as much as possible to avoid. Obviously, it's in the long term, it's not going to matter, but in the moment, it's not the most pleasant. There are ways to navigate it. But that's why I said, 99% of the time, this rarely happens. Chuppas nida very, very rarely happens. But on the books, Kala Shapir's Nida, Kodem Bir Rishona, there is an Isra Yichud that does appear not only in Hilchos Nida, but it appears in the first Sif here in Simcha Beis. You ready?
Yeah.
Amazing.
They renew their vows.
You ready? Amazing. Okay. 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's talk about the different situations that Kulas that fall under the rubric of Shomer. In other words, the first category of kulas can even apply in a one-on-one situation. Right? Reuven is alone with his mother Leah, Heter Gamer. Reuven is alone with Aliza, and Aliza's Baal Be'er, Heter Gamer. The next set of kulas are kulas where Shimon and Yocheved are alone, that would be a problem. That would be Nesi Yichud. But if we add an additional person or two, so then we're going to solve a problem by adding a Shomer. So as we say, once you add a third person, it's maximum Issa Drabanan anyhow. But sometimes it will be also Drabanan. Sometimes it will be Het Tegamer. When is it Het Tegamer? So number one, the Mishnah says, Shnei Anoshim, the Isha Achas. Mishnah says, that's not Issa Yichud whatsoever. Which means, another way of thinking about that is adding a man, so a man can be an ish, can serve as a shomer. Shimon Yocheved alone is a problem. You add Levi, so Levi serves as a shomer. What type of Levi? What type of ish? So the Gemara, remember on the bottom thing that they said, Esidach could be an ish kosher. Esidach could be an ish kosher. You add an ish kosher. Again, either you can think of it as two men and a woman as no Issa Yichud, or think of it as adding one ish kosher, he serves as a shomer. And then you have a series of cases where women can serve as shomros as well. Do you remember the opening line of the Gemara? The Gemara had said that adding a Shimon Yocheved and Chagit, so that also obviously reduces the concern. Number one, it eliminates the Issa D'Oraisa, we're down to only Issa D'Rabbanan because he's no longer the Seisir, and it obviously reduces the concern significantly, but not quite as much. Adding Chagit to the situation, Shimon, Yocheved, and Chagit, is still slightly more risky than Shimon, Yocheved, and Levi. Nashim Daitam Kalos, which remember had nothing to do with intellectual capacity, it's clear in context, it had to do with the dynamics, the psychodynamics of that situation. And the fact that there's still slightly more concern of untoward behavior in the presence of with one man and two women than with two men and one woman because of how things, every situation is different, but tendencies and how these situations play out, there's slightly more concern remaining after a second woman enters the situation. But there are a series of cases where a woman can serve as a shomeres. There are a number of situations where a woman can serve as a shomeres. The most common one is when that second woman, Shimon Yocheved is Issa Yichud, if Chagit enters, she can serve as a shomeres if Shimon does not have any Issa Yichud with Chagit alone. With Chagit alone. If Shimon was alone with Chagit, we mutter. The classical example of that is Ishto Imo. The classic example of that, the Mishnah says on Pei Beis, our starting Mishnah, that if Shimon is married to Chagit, so obviously he could be alone with Chagit, and he could be alone with Chagit and some other woman. Shimon, Mr. Shimon, Chagit, Mr. Shimon, and Yocheved, Het Tegamer. And most poskim assume that that's a general example of Isha Hamutaris Lo V'Yichud. In other words, any of the women from Kal Nabuot, his wife, or Shimon's mother, daughter, grandmother, granddaughter, Shimon's sister, or Shimon Yocheved and Chagit happens to be Baal Beer. Any of these situations, once Shimon has no Issa Yichud with Chagit, so he can be alone with Chagit and some other woman. The example we had given was you and a female cousin are going to spend a couple of hours together with your grandmother, with your shared grandmother. So the two of you go over to see grandma, and the way it works out is you and your female cousin are both going to be there. It is usher for you to have Yichud with your female cousin. She's not closely related enough. She's not your mother, she's not your daughter, she's not your sister. So you can, there is an Issa Yichud between cousins. But grandma is there. So since you have no Issa Yichud with grandma, not only is it not a problem for you to be alone with grandma, grandma will also serve as a shomeres for whoever else is there. Why is it then that the Mishnah gives specifically the example of Ishto Imo? The majority of posts can assume it's any woman with whom I have no Issa Yichud serves as a shomeres. So why does Mishnah have to dafka give what seems like the least mechudish case of all? So that brings us to an important point, which is that when we talk about shomerim in general, They talk about Shomrim in general. Here's a general point about all Shomrim. A general point about all Shomrim, a limitation on all Shomrim. You remember the Gemara had said, was if you're Baderech, well, the Ravid had said, Balayla, if you're in a situation where one person may have to leave for an extended period of time, you're Baderech, you're in some wilderness situation, where if anyone needs to relieve themselves, they have to disappear for a while. Or Balayla, late enough, not after Tzeis HaKachavim, but late enough that people are going to sleep, or people actually are going to sleep, so then you need two such shomer. A sleeping shomer is a half a shomer. So if you normally need to add one ish kasher bayom, balayla need to add two anashim shem. Or two women who serve as shomer. So whatever it is, a husband and wife, together, Shimon Chagit and Reuven and Mrs. Reuven. So that's mutter, because Reuven and Mrs. Reuven are two shomerim, and overnight, so two shomerim, you need two shomerim instead of one shomerim. The sleeping shomerim and half a shomerim. The one exception to that is Ishto'ima. Ishto'ima, the Mishnah says Beferish, Ishto'ima, one's own wife, served as a sufficient shomeres alone, even balayla. Okay, so again, so talking about the shomerim, that you can add an ishkasher, or you can add an isha specifically, isha muteres lo biyichud. Questions before we go on? Yeah.
Baderech also a shomer as he goes around shomer?
The Gemara says it's Baderech. Remember, the Gemara had mentioned about Be'ir versus Baderech. The Ravid in his Sefer and Hilchos Nida, Bali HaNefesh, he has a discussion in Hilchos Yichud actually in the context of that din we talked about before, about the Kalash of Pirsa Nida. So in that context, he gets into some Hilchos Yichud, and he developed, and he has a particular take on Kal Shapir Sanida. And in that context, he mentions that Baderech or Balayla, you need three people instead of two. Otherwise known as you need two added shomrim instead of one. Yeah?
For a Chuppah Sanida, would the wife serve as a shomeres or not?
No, the Issa Yichud is between the husband and wife.
Right, so even if there was a third woman, it would still be.
So that's what the Ravid gets into. How many shomrim do you need? I don't want to get too deep into the sugya. Yeah, but that's what the Ravid gets into. The language of the Gemara is a little bit complicated. So that's what drives him to say, oh, overnight, you need to have two shomrim. Well, exactly. So who can I add as a shomer? I can add an ish, and who can I add as a shomer? Or, but then I'll add two such people. So number one in Ishkasha, that's what we call clue number three here. Clue number four is Isha Mutaris Lo Be Yichud. Kula number five is Tinokas, bringing us to what we saw recently, the Gemara on the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Beis. You have a young woman, a girl, who is old enough to understand, but young enough not to be a Bas Taiva. Tinokas, Hayodas Tam Bia, Ve'enim Osaris Asim Labia. So at that age, she serves as a Shomeres. Or, Chamash Nashim. Shimon and Yocheved can't have Yichud, but even better, let's say, Krovasa. A potentially negative relative of hers. Shimon and Yocheved cannot have Yichud alone. But Shimon Yocheved, together with one of Yocheved's relatives, she's on the list of the Chamash Nashim. You remember we had seen, based on Gemari, Rava, the Amora says it here in the Yichud Sukh, is Payal Fan Beis, based on what the Mishnah has in the end of Yivamas, you have these relationships which are potentially negative. Hopefully in your lives, they can and will be intensely positive. Between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, between sisters-in-law, between stepmother and stepdaughter, or I don't know that you have in your lives tzaros, should the case arise, but these are situations which I stress can and ought to be incredibly positive, but unfortunately statistically there is a greater incidence of negativity and animus between in these situations than between two random people. That is certainly the case, and because there is a higher incidence, unfortunately, of negativity in many of these situations, so they And the fact that there's that potential tension means that one of such that they serve as shomros for one another. So those are our four major examples of shomer: ish kasher, or isha with materas of yichud, an isha who fits the right age bracket of tinokas, or an isha who has a potentially negative relationship with the other woman in the yichud situation. Yeah.
Does yotzei v'nichnas help at all?
Yotzei v'nichnas. We're getting to that very soon.
Okay. Also, segue.
Perfect segue. That's not a segue. You have another question. Yeah.
I should have asked the other order. But for number six, does it matter at all if they, like Lemaisa, if they don't have a bad relationship, do we still say the heter?
I believe so, because I think there's always, I believe that we assume the heter still applies, because even though these two women may know that they have a fantastic relationship, but that other man who's in the room, he's never 100% sure. He doesn't know. So Baruch Hashem, these two sisters-in-law are mamash like sisters. This mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, they're like mamash like a mother and daughter. Baruch Hashem. But Shimon doesn't know that, or Shimon's not convinced of that. So the fact that in his mind there's this added risk, it's that their presence together reduces the risk of him trying anything sufficiently that mitigates this. Question. A very young question. No? Oh, no owl questions. Okay, so now we'll go back to Natan's first point. Yotzei v'nichnas. Yotzei v'nichnas brings into the world of situations. We'll come back to Adi Shomer in a couple minutes, but let's talk about situations. So when do you have a situation where not because of the identity of the people, just because of the matzav? This is mutter. So number one, or I guess the way we're counting it, number seven, for the first of the situations, that's up as well. The open door policy. You remember in the discussion of Pesach Pasulach was the Gemara, Rav Yosef, the Amora taught us that in on Pei Alpha, Amid Alpha, Maseches Kiddushin. And three major points that come up. Number one, what's the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Number two, what does Pasulach mean? And number three, we'll get to in a moment. But here is a question of who. What is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So we saw the Nosa Kalim quote, the Knesset HaGadol already says that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim means Bayom, not Balayla. But once again, this has nothing to do with what time on the clock it is. It has nothing to do with Shkir, Tzeis HaKochavim. It has to do with late enough at night that there isn't a lot of traffic on the street. It's not like a rule that automatically doors open to the street. It's mutter. Depends if they're actually over in Beshavim. Over in Beshavim. And that's both a question of when and a question of where. As you have a street which is plenty busy, has plenty of traffic during the day, but at 1 o'clock in the morning, not. Amsterdam Avenue here is busy even at 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
People driving on the road.
There's over in Rishon, it's relevant perhaps for their Hanukkah, and it's relevant for Hilchos Yichud. So the question of what constitutes Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a question of when. It's also a question of where. There could be streets that are public thoroughfares, but practically speaking, no one's there. So it doesn't help that in theory, this is you open to the street. Are there over in Rishon or not? Now you mentioned they quote the Dvar Halacha quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and maybe Rabbi Yashin as well. You know, people are going by every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that, maybe a little more, 15 minutes. People are going by with some regularity. So that constitutes a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Where do we see an example of that idea in the Gemara? That was a story of Rav and Rav Yehuda. You remember one of the Yesodos that came from the story of Rav and Rav Yehuda, their Kavli Beurcha, that story at the top, They were ka'azli b'urcha. And they bump into this woman and they say, oh, we better move quickly so we don't, they hang around here. We're on the road around the same pace as her. We're near her. It's going to be a violation of yichud, so we better walk quickly so we put some distance between ourselves and this female traveler. So the question is, there are many points to be drawn for that Gemara. One of which is, why is there a problem with yichud? They're on the road. What's the yichud issue? Forget about how many people there are and all that other conversation that flowed from that story. And the Rambam is surprising shita that he thinks based on that story where there's no such thing as the ishkasha. Forget about all that. What type of yichud? They're out in the streets. Public thoroughfare. Anyone else could be there also. It wasn't Fieldston. It wasn't a private road. The answer is, you see that just because you're on the road doesn't mean it's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, that's l'chora a mocker for the point that the early Achronim make explicitly, which is it has to do with whether it actually is traffic or not. Okay, that's number one in terms of the definition of Rosh Hashanah. The second question was, what's called Pasuah? Okay, there's an area over there, Rosh Hashanah over there where there's public traffic. That's great. And how connected do we have to be to that space? Well, I have to have Pesach, Pasuach, Rosh Hashanah, which, by the way, shows up in Maseches Avodah Zarah in the context of Hashkachas specifically on Yayin, and shows up in Kiddushin in the context of Yichud. Well, it has to be Pesach, Pasuach, Rosh Hashanah. What does Pasuach mean? So there we saw the Pesach Tshuva quoted, a machlokas, surely machlokas achronim, it may already be a discussion we've shown him. Does pasuach just mean unlocked? The door is not locked? Or it means the door is wide open? Door is wide open. In other words, what's shaila about how the door is constructed? Then really the fundamental question, wide open means you actually need visibility. Wide open means that the only hector is that you're visible to anyone walking by. Whereas unlocked means even if you're not visible, that there's possible entry, there's a possibility that someone pops in, that already is enough to be matir. Again, that highlights the point that unlocked doesn't automatically work either. Even the Mekilim, even the Rajvaz, based on the Shulchan Aruch, but Pesach Tshuva quoted, who assumes an unlocked door is matir yichud, that only means an unlocked door in the context when there's a real chance that people will walk in. If you're in a bubble colony, people just walk into each other's homes, so I'm not sure what that says about this. What that says about the tzedius of the situation and the matam olach Yaakov, it's a good question to ask. But the mice said, if you're in a context, you live on a type of block where the little kids are constantly in and out of each other's homes. The door isn't locked, kids are going to come in. Hopefully the six-year-old will knock first. Maybe not. Regardless, the people are just coming in. Okay. So if there's a real possibility of entry, so then it's mutter. Or if you're in an office, and you may have a door closed, but the culture in the office, different offices are different cultures. The culture of the office is you can just knock. If the door is unlocked, just knock and walk right in. Okay. So that already is a real possibility. The real possibility of entry. If you hold a kiveg in the base mayor, that's not enough. You need to have actual visibility. Even the machmirim, the kiveg in the base mayor, require visibility. We pointed out even they don't require an actual door. Machalona pasuch hushizram is enough as well. If you have a window through which you're visible, whether you're visible to the street, to ground level office, a ground level apartment, or you're visible to the building that's shaped in a horse-shaped building, and you may be on the 10th floor, but you're visible across to the apartments and the offices that face you. Visibility for sure works. Everyone agrees that if there's an open door and an open window, you're visible to people who might be going by. That's for sure mutter. Machlokas is if you're not visible, but there's a possibility of entry, is that also enough to be mutter? Halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, how do we work with this? Do we require after kiveg and basically visibility, or is it enough like the Radvaz the possibility of entry? So I mentioned that my impression is the way posts can usually deal with this is to splice this issue This is the second of three questions of Pesach Pasuach. The first question is the Zeravit. Another question of how you define Pasuach. To splice this issue with the third issue. The third issue was Libo Gaspa. Libo Gaspa. The Nosakeim on the side of Shavar raises this conversation. Truman Sadeshin thinks that just as Libo Gaspa extinguishes the heter of Baal Be'ir, the Gemara says that, Truman Sadeshin, when the late Ashkenaz Rishonim seems to think that Libo Gaspa also extinguishes the heter of Pesach Pasuach. Truman Sadeshin's conversation is about a particularly negative type of Libo Gaspa, and that is Isha Shekina Labaila. You have a woman who's already halfway into a Sota situation. The husband suspects, correctly or incorrectly, but the husband suspects marital infidelity and says to his wife, in front of Aiden, I'll fist your Mishkona. So clearly this is not a good situation. But the husband is, his concerns are founded or unfounded. This is clearly, some way or another, this is not a good situation. Either his concerns are founded, Rahman al-Tzlan, and there's some highly inappropriate behavior going on the part of the wife, or his concerns are unfounded, which may or may not mean that he's a parent. Either way, there's definitely not a lot of trust between husband and wife. This is clearly not an ideal situation by any stretch of the imagination. Nebuch, some Nebuch or another, but this is a sad situation. So Kina Labaila, Truman Sadeshin says, then Pesach Pasuach doesn't work. Question is, and then no, Acharon pointed out that may include the positive types. Again, we said usually Libo Gaspa is positive and appropriate. A brother-in-law and a sister-in-law, cousins, something like that. Next-door neighbor. In an entirely appropriate sense. So, but whatever it is, Libo Gaspa does extinguish the heter of Baal Be'ir, that's the Pharisee Gemara. Does Libo Gaspa extinguish the heter of Pesach Pasuach? That's a great question. And that's a machlok zachronim. It points out that will Mirchim be relevant to each of you in a couple of years from now, because a fantastically positive example of Libo Gaspa is the woman who is not yet your wife, but you're on track for that to happen. You're dating seriously, you're engaged, hopefully, unless you plan to date Chassidish, your fiancé is a Libo Gaspa, Baruch Hashem, for the best of reasons. And it is critically important when dating is going well, or when you're engaged, it's critically important. It's that even more important than any other time in your life to be careful about yichud and about kirabasar and about astaklus, to be careful about the gedarim in Ebenezer. Baruch Hashem, the gedarim are that much more relevant, and you want to found your relationship absolutely on yesodos of kedusha and tahara. No type of physical contact or anything else is mutter until you put a ring, a marriage, a wedding band, not an engagement ring, a wedding band on her finger and say her name mekudeshesly in front of Eitan. Until Kiddush and Yisuin, there is no heter for any type of physical contact whatsoever. There is no heter for Yichud whatsoever, just to be clear. As a matter of fact, it could be that the Gedarim are actually even more chomer for the best of reasons. The type is greater, Baruch Hashem, Libo Gaspa. That's perhaps the strongest type of Libo Gaspa is between an engaged couple. So the post can discuss, maybe we have to be more Machran Yichud. Maybe Pesach Pasuach doesn't work. So that's an open question. What qualifies as Pesach Pasuach? And does Pesach Pasuach work at all by Libo Gaspa? So my impression is that the general approach of Poskim is you can have one kula or the other kula, but not both. In other words, in a normal situation, it's not Libo Gaspa, so we would accept even the Radvaz's standard of a real chance of possible entry. But if it's Libo Gaspa, so then we would only accept the higher standard, but not the lower standard. In other words, once it's Libo Gaspa, whether it's this, you know, your sister-in-law, your cousin, what have you, or a Libo Gaspa because it's your fiancé, or you're getting engaged in a couple of weeks, but at that point, once Libo Gaspa, then we would say, we're willing to accept Pesach Pasuach only if you're mamish visible. You're sitting on a park bench, and you know you're visible to people walking by over there, your mom is visible to people walking by, that's the only type of pesapasua that we would accept in a situation libo gaspa. That's not libo gaspa, and I think the poskim generally are comfortable. There are machmir. I think poskim generally are comfortable with an even lower standard of pesapasua. Again, that even that has to be authentic. I stress that again. It's not enough that technically the door is unlocked. There has to be a real chance of people walking in, but they can't necessarily see you until they open the door. Questions? Questions?
Is someone without das able to be a shomer?
Someone without das able to be a shomer. That takes us back to the Gemara. That's a good question. Great question. Takes us back to the Gemara of Tinokas. The Gemara had said that in order to qualify as a shomer, as opposed to losing her status as a shomer, she has to be young enough that Einam of Saras has to be a. But on the other hand, she needs the cognitive capacity to be a shomeres, which means she has to be Odas Tambir. She has to be aware and specifically attuned enough to relationships and interactions, appropriate and inappropriate interactions with men and women, that she's old enough to pick up if something is not right. If not, so then you don't certainly. So if you're asleep, you're a fully sentient person if you happen to be asleep. So a sleeping shomer is half a shomer. As we say, you need two such shomer. Why? Because if a person is asleep, you don't see what's going on. But there's always a chance, there's always a risk that someone asleep wakes up. Not as good as actually being awake. You have two different people, each of whom might wake up independently. So then already that's enough to serve as a shomer. Or together, they add up to one shomer. Yeah, Keith.
Someone for example, a sister-in-law or something like that, could that work with a sister-in-law?
For you to be alone with a sister-in-law and some other woman.
Or just to be alone with a sister-in-law in general.
No, so our sister-in-law is not in the list column one. And she's not one of the relationships.
Right.
So you need to figure out, being that she just said, when you look at, now you take a look back at the board, now you see laid out, so here's your basic framework. You got 10 points from top to bottom, and then some right block. Is there this or you good? Okay. This or you good. But then, once you say, hey, this is 10 points or you good, let me think about which kula is in place. Maybe I'm alone with a woman, but she herself, I've noticed you with her. Okay, finally be here. Or my grandma. Okay. If not, maybe I can add a shomer, one of the heterium from column two. Or maybe it's a situation which is not an ichud situation whatsoever. Such as either Pesach Pasuach, that we're calling your kula number seven, or another situation. This came up on the second page of Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara's and Pe'al from Aleph. That if it's Anashim Rabim, Anashim Rabos, you're in a crowd of people, a crowd of men and women. Remember the Gemara had said that if a whole bunch of men, but they're all prutzim, with one woman, that's a problem. The Gemara should come on the bottom of Pei Amud Beis. However, the Gemara goes on to indicate on Pei Alpha and Aleph, you have a group of men and a group of women together, that's Hetzer Gamer. The Gemara said, oh, if you have a group of men in this room, a group of women in that room, that might not be okay, depending on the setup. If a group of men and a group of women together, Hetzer Gamer, the Rambam accepts that. In other words, even if they're all prutzim, a group of men, a group of women together, that's not yichud. That's just not, you're not, there's nothing secluded about it. Who? That's no matter who. Anashim Rabos, a few of Prutzim. How many is Rabim and Rabos? That we had seen that was a discussion in Beishmul, Chetz and Chogin, and Sarah Shofan Aras. Some say two and two, but the more common Shita is three and three. So once it's a group of men, a group of women, even if they are not Kshomrim, they're not Kshirim, by any stretch of imagination, it doesn't matter. Again, you're a big party, you're walking into a big party, and one guy is more powerful than the next, and one woman is more prudent than the next, but there are three or more men in the room, three more women in the room, it's not an Isser Yichud. obviously doesn't mean that you belong at that party. It's likely mechura hadavar, and there may be a wide variety of reasons why you don't belong at that party, obviously. So yichud, it's not. If it's a jury room, so it's not mechura hadavar, it's not inappropriate, but it may be you walk into a jury room, and maybe they're all prutzim. Okay, but if it's a nashim rabbi, nashim rabos, so that is not an iser of yichud. Yeah.
You can't have a witness. They can't test how it happened in the jury room. So you can't have a witness come and say anything.
Can't testify what happened in the jury room.
Against the rules.
They can't share the deliberations.
Yeah.
If I think if a crime took place in the jury room, I believe that you are allowed to testify about the actions. You can't share the conversation in it. That's a good point. So this already fills out the list. Let me add one more, which is I don't know if we saw it inside. It's a machlokas harishonim. It appears on the page of Shulchan Aruch as a machlokas. I believe it is a kula we don't usually rely on. I put it in brackets because when necessary, should ask a shayla whether it's appropriate or not. And that is, in terms of adding, coming back to column number two, adding a shomer. You say, one ish kasher is a valid shomer. Or an isha who is mutaris lo b'yichud. An isha who is of their tinokas age. Or an isha who has a negative relationship, potentially negative relationship, with the other woman in yichud. Or, women without any special, unique qualification or criteria, except that there's more than one of them. Shnei Nashim. Rashi, that's Shita's Rashi. You remember the Mishnah, going back to basics. The Mishnah said, I'm paying the days, two men and a woman, no Isser Yichud, which we can translate as, an Ish Kasher serves as a Shomer. But, two women and a man, there is an Isser Yichud, which we translate as, just default Isha Kshera doesn't serve as a Shomeres, unless she has one of these unique qualifications. Rashi thinks, aha, two women and a man, Isser Yichud. But three women and a man, Mutter. Other Rishonim disagree. So do you say that one man and three women, that automatically Mutter? Or not? In other words, adding to Shimon and Yocheved are alone. We have a problem. But how about if Chana and Penina both join? So that's clearly mutter because Chana and Penina are tzaros. But let's say Penina and Tzlel Ponit join. So now it's Shimon, Yocheved, Penina, and Tzlel Ponit. Okay, well, Tanakh Bekias in advance of the old minig of Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Was you would go through each of the Chav Dal Sefer Tanakh, a sampling, and then each of the Masechtas. So you got to get ready. So you can, or you'll have time on the bus. You can figure out who was Tzlel Ponit and what Sefer of Tanakh did she appear. So.
Say
it. Do the work. So Shimon, well, we'll switch it up. Shimon, Yocheved, Penina and Lo Ruchama. There is a woman named Lo Ruchama in Tana. So Shimon, Yocheved, Penina, and Lo Ruchama. As far as I know, the original Yocheved, Penina, Lo Ruchama were not related to each other. They lived in different centuries. But here, Shimon is alone with three women. They have no specific connection to each other, to him, nothing. So, but Rashi holds that two women, adding additional two women, that already is valid Shmira. Other Rishonim disagree. So if a situation comes up, you should definitely make a Sheilas Chacham and ask about that. One, let's stop, pause for questions, and one more critical detail that we left in curly braces yesterday. Questions? Yeah.
So back to the Yosef and Nechnas.
Yes.
If there is if two people are in a locked room, but like some other person, a shomer has a key who is not there, is that considered
good? Good. So now we're ready for Yosef and Nechlas. Those Nechlas brings us back to Pes Pasuach. So the Dov of Meisharim, the Shabina Rav, Shuvas, the Dvar Halacha quotes, the Shabina Rav and the Shuvas Dov of Meisharim, he thinks that if you have specific people whom you expect will likely show up, and they have the keys, and even if the door is locked, nothing to do with the door locked to unlock, there's someone who has a key who there's a real chance it's going to show up, so that's the same as possible entry, same as Radvaz and the Rajba. I would add, that even if it's technically not Yichud, it often will be Mechur or Hadavar to have a door that's closed and certainly a door that's locked. You have to assess the situation. But very often that is just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. Bechla, you often don't want to leave the door ajar, even if there's any ways a chance that people come in. An ajar door is more likely to invite people in than just an unlocked but closed door. And also, just in terms of avoiding the appearance of impropriety, usually a door which is open is more appropriate. One more key halachic detail, and then we'll close by thinking about one or two situations. One key halachic detail we didn't yet deal with, and that's why I left it in curly braces yesterday. There's a placeholder, now we can erase those braces. It's the shear zman. I'm talking about the basic parameters in history. Yichud, how long? Okay, let's say it is, I don't have a shomer, it's not Pesach Pasuach, it's a person who married to Yichud, but as I said yesterday, so what? So you're taking the express elevator from the first floor up to the observatory deck of the Empire State Building. You'll be in the elevator, I don't know, 45 seconds, 90 seconds. It's a normal elevator. The elevator could stop at any floor. Even if you press the button for 12, but anyone else at floor 2, 3, or 4 could press the button on the outside, they want to come in. So normally, a normal elevator that makes local stops, that's mamish, Pesach Pasuach Shasur Rabba. It could open at any moment, even though it's closed, and it's at the moment locked, but it could unlock at any floor. Let's say you have an express elevator, it's going to shoot up 70, 80, 90 floors, so there's no Pesach Pasuach until you get to the other side. And how long are you in the elevator for? 45 seconds, 90 seconds. So al pi pashtas, there were, when the observatory deck first became a thing, there were people who got very excited that's an Isser Yichud. That is very hard to argue that it is an Isser Yichud. There is a sugya in the Bgim Masech HaSota. Those who have been learning Daf Yomi will hopefully remember it a month and a half ago, about the sheer zman for a stira to make for a woman to become a sota. That has to do with, that's a few minutes. That's just the amount of time it would take to have a maisaviyah. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that for Yichud, he thinks that it's longer. Because he thinks contextually, you have to figure out what's the minimum amount of time, especially if people don't know each other, what's the minimum amount of time that you could have a minimal conversation that would get to the point where two people might actually engage in an act of sin. It's more than 3 minutes. It has to be some mildly significant amount of time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you have to figure out what it is, and it may be contextually dependent. It has to do with how much people know each other, more people know each other from beforehand, the shorter that zman Yichud might be. Okay, so there's always more to discuss, but I think this really pulls together most of the key yisodos of Hilchas Yichud. Now, we can close in the last few minutes by thinking about a couple of practical scenarios. One is a doctor's office. Another one is a therapist's office. A third one is a babysitter. And a fourth one is you're giving your girl a ride. So now, this is all super lamaisa. Some are professionally lamaisa or might be professional lamaisa in the future. And others are personal. So you look at the board. You look at the board right now. So what do you see? So the doctor is seeing a patient, and the doctor and patient are opposite genders. A male doctor is seeing a female patient, or a female doctor is seeing a male patient. Often when possible, it'll be more appropriate and certainly more comfortable to have a doctor of the same gender. Not always an option. The same is true for a therapist. in someone in therapy, it's often wiser and more tasteful to see a therapist of the same gender. It's not always an option. For a variety of reasons, sometimes you need someone with a specific specialty. You have a woman who suffers from religious OCD. She has OCD, expressed that in the context of her friend kite. There's nothing religious about it. It's pathology and asking it's religion. So it may be that in that area, the one specialist, there happens to be someone who specializes in that in central New Jersey, is fantastic at it, a male therapist. You may look around to see, this woman rather than see a female therapist, she may not find someone who is driving this, who's as good. Okay, so you have to see, or you may have someone who's a marriage therapist who's seen a couple, and then he or she may want to see each, have sessions with each spouse individually. So you're already locked into whoever the therapist is. So, and those are situations that require privacy, right? Like design, right? They need to be private. So how do you, what would you do? So you look at the board and ask yourself, which of these nine coolers is going to help me? It definitely is two people alone of opposite gender. That's a real probably Yichud. Likely Yichud Araisa. Likely Yichud Araisa. So what are we to do? So it's very unlikely that that the doctor and patient are related, father, daughter. Certainly that would be totally inappropriate, ineffective if it's a therapeutic relationship. Isha Shabbai of the ear might help you. In other words, let's say you have a woman who's a therapist, a woman who's a physician, so if she works in the same, her office is in the same town as her husband's office, so that solves your problem, especially if we follow the Rambam. It doesn't have to be any real chance of the husband popping in. Right, according to Rambam, he assumed like the Rambam. So the husband doesn't have to actually have the ability to pop in. So if that's something you can work out, that's great. Or you have a woman who's visiting a male doctor, a male therapist, so she can see to it that her husband will be in town during the time of her visit. Okay, but he doesn't have to come along as long as he's in town. But that may not be something you can organize. You may have a female therapist whose husband doesn't work in the same town. She may be single, or husband may be out of town. So that's the other solution also. Yeah.
But since with a therapist, like the patient is like very open and stuff, and they. I assume that they would like build a relationship. Would that be libo gaspa?
Libo gaspa. Change the question. Is a therapeutic relationship libo gaspa? That's a fascinating question. I'm not sure. I'll tell you what I'm not sure about. It is hopefully a very, if the therapy is productive, the client is becoming increasingly open about personal parts of his or her life. However, it's not at all. Should not at all be a two-way street. As the therapist, it's highly inappropriate for the therapist to be open with the client about the therapist's personal life. It's, but the therapist should be very, very professional. The therapist should be listening. It's supposed to be a totally asymmetric relationship. Usually, libo gaspa is when you have a symmetric relationship. I think I mentioned a Schechter holds that a father-in-law and daughter-in-law are not considered libo gaspa. Even if they have a great, like a father-daughter relationship, the legal gospel is only with their peers. So it could be, I'm not sure. It's an interesting open question. But a productive therapist-client relationship is considered legal gospel. I would suspect not, but I'm not sure. Introducing other people, adding a shomer, is in a medical context, may or may not be possible. If there are other professionals in the office, another doctor, a nurse, who's there as well. Sometimes that's what you'll do, if you have a nurse in the room during a consultation or during an examination, that's a solution. It's not going to typically be a solution in therapeutic context. Once you have a team of therapists working together, that's not so difficult. Pesach Pasuach will often be a solution in one of the following ways. In a medical context, I've had conversations with doctors about Yichud. Some of them were able to arrange, that I mentioned before, the culture of the office. The culture of the office, they did have the culture of the office, that it's totally okay for another doctor or nurse to just knock on the door and walk in. They wait 5 seconds, knock on the door, wait 3 seconds, The doctor may say, give us 10 seconds, then you walk in. But if there's a culture that you can knock and then walk in almost immediately, in an appropriate fashion, in a professional way, so then you've created Pesach Pazuah. It's not legal gospel. That's a totally viable type of Pesach Pazuah. That's Rav Vaz and Rashba. There's a real chance that someone else is going to walk in. In the therapeutic context, it's more difficult to reach that. If you have a clinic, you have multiple therapists, so you may or may not be able to work that out. What you can do is halona pasuah l'shus harav. And you can have a therapist, a client needs privacy in terms of the conversation. They need to not be heard. They don't need to not be seen. Specifically, takes us back to a Chaim Eisner story, the therapist can be seen. Sometimes a client won't want to be seen that he or she is in therapy, but the therapist can be seen. If you set up the office in a way that people walking in the hallway can see the therapist. Very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
Right, we're not leaving ahead of schedule. Okay, let's wrap this up, we'll save questions for after, those who are comfortable waiting for questions. So, Chalona Pasuah l'shus harav is open to something, whether it's a first floor office, or you're on a higher floor of a building, but you can arrange that the therapist is visible from the hallway, that will often be a solution. There may be other solutions as well, but these are the most straightforward solutions. And that brings us to the last point we'll make, which is driving in a car. Driving in a car, there's a wider range of poskim, a wider range of views of poskim that drives in a car. Moshe Feinstein is very, very machmir. Others are very, very meek. I think the standard approach is to assume that when you're in a car, Moshe Feinstein assumes that cars are absolutely terrible for yichud, but you could drive off to wherever. Some say you're driving. So if you're driving, there's no yichud at all because you're busy driving. I think the middle approach, the thing that most people can adopt, is that there isn't a yichud, but only based on Asher Hushah, literally, based on where you are. The fact that you could drive off somewhere private, well, you shouldn't. If you're worried about doing that, don't. But maybe it's Bechura Adabra that's a concern. But there's a yichud, look at where they are, which means it depends, are you on a deserted street or not? And are you